TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
To the end zone, Rudolph! Touchdown Vikings! And so the first touchdown in the history of U.S. Bank Stadium belongs to Kyle Rudolph.
The Hail Mary from Cousins. It's caught! It's Kyle Rudolph with a Viking touchdown!
Pass is caught for the win! Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings are moving on!
All right, boys. I'm gonna give you guys two choices to choose your own adventure here off the top of this show, and I think I know what your answers are going to be.
I don't know if I can make it through today's show, first of all.
It's already starting. It's already starting.
What a great... Well, go ahead.
Insincere Judd, already crapping on a good 10-year career of Kyle Rudolph.
First Zucker, now Rudolph.
Do you guys want to start the show with what should be a rightful ode to a really good Vikings player who was cut yesterday, Kyle Rudolph, a guy who finished... fifth as a Viking in career receptions, fifth in touchdown catches, 10th in yards receiving, a hall of very good career with the Minnesota Vikings, and pay the respects and the tribute that he deserves for a decade-long career.
What's my second choice?
Or do you want to go through the people that he snubbed in the PlayersTribune.com article saying goodbye to Minnesota yesterday?
Hold on a second. So I've got door one, which is a conversation to praise a guy who was good, or door two, who that guy might have snubbed, and how that snub might be falling into a pattern of players who leave here.
Well,
do you like that?
I know what your choice is, and I think I know what Declan's choice is. You guys are the ambulance chasers who would love option number two. You more than Declan. Yeah. Declan's not as much of an ambulance.
Not as much an ambulance, but I'm very intrigued by ambulance.
Declan, you know what? Declan's young. He's learning.
Yes.
My sports son is learning.
I can be
persuaded
a lot more to Judd's angle than I can Phil's.
Yes, and I feel that's becoming more of a regular thing.
But then the other thing
it's not Phil's angle. He's just throwing out the choice.
The other thing I think is like Kyle Rudolph is beloved, and most Vikings fans have a very high opinion of Rudolph, and I have a high opinion of Rudolph. Like, he had a really good career. I don't think he was as amazing as maybe we thought when he was a young player, but he had a really good career.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we need to do like 15, 20 minutes before write that down predictions, essentially just picking apart this PlayersTribune.com article. But if you guys want to outvote me, then we can do it.
Well, hold on a second here. Just to get something straight here. The incredible thing to me, like, let's start off with praising him, because there's one prolific thing here that I think has been glossed over now for the past, 18 hours since it came out that the Vikings had severed ties with Kyle. And that is how prolific he is and was, but still is. Can you imagine being called by your employer and being told that you have been let go? And in a moment's notice, churning out a full piece for the Players Tribune and hitting publish on that piece seconds after processing this devastating information that your long career was done. Prolific.
Well, listen, just because you're a slow writer back in the day doesn't mean that other people can't churn out 1,000 words in 5 minutes.
Part of my multi-agreement with Bring Me the News is I had that exact clause in my contract when I leave. So I can have a pen to paper ready to go the moment I leave.
You got 10 minutes. If you can get to 1,000 words, go. Yeah. Just go. Perfectly formatted everything.
Well, hold on a second. If Declan did that, I've got a question then. Who would he thank? And who might he forget?
Really want to thank Rami Makhlouf for being a big, big part of my life. And, you know, Jonathan Harrison really showed me the ropes. And guys like Brad Lane meant a lot. And
Joe Nelson was
a big part of it. And
and the Hubbard family.
Yeah.
Dan Seaman. Matthew Collar, who was great.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
I mean, you might mention Phil, too.
Danny Cunningham. Yeah. Just everybody.
I really think if Jimmy Butler stays here, the Wolves win that title and Score North hits the next
I didn't
level.
Work with Dubé, but my God, I looked up to him. Yeah.
So
Joe Anderson.
So how do you think this happened? Do you think this, I think it's between 1 and 2,000 words, and it's an ode. It's called Dear Minnesota. Was this written... Did he anticipate being cut and he just had this written out? Or did the Vikings and him decide, listen, so we're not going to come to any sort of agreement, we're going to cut you, but we're not going to announce it or leak it until you write this piece? I'm always curious how this works. My
guess is that they talked right after the season came to an end and probably agreed it wasn't going to work. And my guess is the Vikings said, "When do you want us to release you?" Because he now goes on the market before the free agency period begins, but he can sign.
Yeah.
So I would guess that this had been written for probably a month and a half.
So a long list of people to thank in 10 years as a Vikings quarterback.
Okay, let's get
here.
To All it. Right. We didn't vote, but who cares? Let's get to it.
You've got a highlighted. So if I'm missing something here, let me know. But so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read like the people that he's going to thank.
Of course.
There are so many people that I want to thank. I want to thank the Vikings ownership group, the Will family, Ziggy, Leonard, and Mark. Leonard getting a shout out here. I feel like Lenny never gets a
Lenny,
shout out.
I liked him a lot. Good
but
guy.
He's like, he never shows up to anything, right? He's just sort of in the background?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he went a lot.
I think Mark's become kind of the like,
I believe
the
he was known. I believe,
him.
And I don't know if this was still true, but for years he was known as the guy who had the most expensive divorce in New Jersey state history.
Really? Awesome.
Yes. Like, he had a divorce that was just, I think it's, if you go Google it, it was, let's say, very, very lucrative for the
prenup was signed?
It sure didn't read like it at the time.
Like a nine-figure situation? So he thanks the ownership. We want to thank Rick Spielman, who, ask anyone, runs one of the best front offices in the league. I want to thank Mike Zimmer. I want to thank Eric Sugarman, our head trainer. I want to thank all the strength coaches I've had in Minnesota. And then he goes on to name some of the first-rate equipment staff, Dennis Ryan, who's been there for a long time, and a bunch of other guys. All right. I want to thank my Vikings teammates from over the years. That's obviously too long a list to get into any sort of roll call, but trust me, love you guys. But then he goes into some specific names like Chad Greenway, Harrison Smith, both Notre Dame guys. Guys like Hutch, Jared Allen, Adrian Peterson. Guys like Matt Castle, straight up one of the best human beings I've ever been around. Yeah. Guys like Everson Griffin, a 9-year teammate. An all-time friend. Guys like Eric Kendricks, an amazing competitor who lined up against me every day in practice and helped mold me into the player I am. Guys like Sam Bradford, who never got the credit he deserved but battled through an injury for 2 years to try and get us over the hump. In parentheses, I sincerely believe that we win a Super Bowl in 2017 if Sam is healthy. Such an incredibly talented dude, an unreal passer when his body was right. Put a pin in that one for a second. Guys like Teddy Bridgewater, another crazy talented quarterback who had some terrible injury luck, but inspired all of us with his determination and definitely left us his mark on the team. Man, just so many guys. I could go on and on. Guys like Garrett Bradbury and Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson.
Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah. Brian O'Neill. Young players just getting started.
And that's where
Hold on. I am not done. I'm still scrolling because there's more to it. There's a big picture of Kyle.
Sorry, this is so bad.
And the
article's not bad. I'm just saying what we're doing right now is terrible. What we're doing right
now
is terrible.
Hold on a second. If you decide to write a piece that is, 1,500 to probably 2,000 words, and you decide to spend a huge chunk of that thanking people and writing about the influences and writing about Matt Castle, who clearly couldn't play quarterback but was a great human being. Hold on a second. I'm going to do Control F because Phil taught me that. And
I searched the page.
Yeah,
Control F. Yeah, what other players would you be curious to know? I mean, there's a lot of players listed here. You might have missed somebody.
Did he mention Thielen? Did he mention Adam Thielen?
He actually didn't.
He did not mention
Adam. I think those guys are pretty good friends, though.
I think so.
Let me see here. Hold on. Okay, we did Thielen. He didn't show up. How about this
We're
one?
We're terrible humans.
C-O-U-S-I-N-S. It must have. Control F must not work all the time.
No, sometimes you have to try it twice.
Let's try it again.
Did you spell it right, too?
I'm going to try it again.
I'm not going to spell it.
Cousins.
Did you try it without the capital C in case?
Okay, I'll do a lowercase C. Let's see. Enter. Oh, no, hold on. I got to the end again. Oh, yeah. I guess he didn't mention Kirk Cousins.
Mm.
Hold on. I'm going to go back to when Stephon Diggs wrote for the Players Tribune when he went to Buffalo, because that one, he clearly called it. He had to say thank you to Kirk Cousins, right? Hold on.
On that note, did he thank Stephon Diggs? Was there any mention of Stephon Diggs in the Kyle Rudolph article?
No.
Oh.
But
weird.
I wouldn't.
I thought a player like that who would have won the Super Bowl in 2017 on that squad with Sam Bradford, you'd shout him out.
So the two quarterbacks who threw Kyle the most touchdown passes in his career, the fifth most touchdown receptions of any Vikings receiver or tight end in franchise history, Christian Ponder threw him the most. Christian Ponder found him
That's
13
hilarious.
Times. He did not thank Christian Ponder for finding him 13 times in the end zone. That's a huge disrespect to Christian Ponder. but I see why maybe he was omitted from the discussion. Hmm. Kirk Cousins has thrown him 11 touchdown passes over the last 3 years, the second most of any Vikings quarterback. And unless some of the article was chopped out for, you know, what, time constraints.
Space reasons? We don't have enough space in the Players Tribune for this, Kyle.
What do we make of this?
Which paragraphs do you want us to take out?
It's just interesting. It's just interesting,
well,
right?
Hold on
that you,
a sec.
That you, that
yeah,
you would go out of your way to say, hey, Vikings players, this is way too long of a list to like actually name people, so I'm not going to. But here's like 50 names.
You know what?
None of them including the guy that threw me 11 touchdown passes the last 3 years.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
And a touchdown pass that helped us win a playoff game.
I'm willing to accept and just roll with the punches on the majority of oversights of teammates for the most part, right? Like, Thielen's the perfect example. Adam Thielen is a guy who you would not expect him. I mean, you know, they're friends, but he might have just not mentioned him. I totally get that. But let's go to the Cousins one, okay? Because that would be like if you had...
Dude, he named Matt Castle.
And that,
he named Matt Castle.
And this is your quarterback. This would be like if you had four or five ex-wives and you named three of them. Like, the quarterback's not just a teammate.
No, it's ex-girlfriends.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying, this is not an oversight of a teammate. Thielen, potential oversight, right? Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
Riley Reiff.
Yeah,
he's on the other side half the time. I don't know.
And you like him a lot, and they're your friends, but you know what? You don't really think about it too much.
Not the guy that you share a ball with.
What? The guy who had control of getting you said ball.
Dude, he thanked Matt Castle.
I know.
Matt Castle.
Well, there's two quarterback digs here to me. No pun intended off Stefan. There's two quarterback digs here to me that I can't get past, okay? One is Kirk Cousins' name, just like the digs piece in the Player Tribune, is nowhere to be found, okay? That's one. The second one is, no matter how good or bad he was ultimately, Case Keenum really helped this team and helped them get to, what, a 13-win season in 2000. And 17, and he threw the first touchdown pass, but before it all went awry in Philadelphia, the first touchdown pass that gave the Vikings a 7-0 lead, if I'm not mistaken, in that NFC championship game was Case Keenum to Kyle Rudolph, okay? And he basically comes back and says, Sammy Bradford, he would have done it.
So
those are the two digs. Those are the two things I see as real.
Yeah, let's go back to that one.
Kyle is, people in this town for the most part really like him. And I will say this: he ain't a dumb guy. Okay,
he is very calculated.
He is very calculated. So don't think that when we're talking about quarterbacks and what he is writing in this case, that is just happenstance. That's how things were either phrased. Or people's names didn't show up.
Do you guys agree with his assertion? I agree with what he says about Bradford, that when healthy, Sam Bradford was just a dime thrower when he was healthy.
Absolutely.
But he was so fragile and the guy couldn't stay on the field. He's got, you know, 15 knee surgeries or whatever. If Sam Bradford had stayed healthy in 2017, he's either saying that they would have won more than 13 regular season games, thus having a home playoff game and a better chance against the Eagles in the NFC title game. Or he's saying that Sam Bradford wouldn't have thrown the pick six to alter that game in the first half, or somehow would have gotten into a high-scoring shootout with Nick Foles, right? And they would have won the game like 31-28 or something. Do you guys buy that? Do you think the Vikings would have gone on to further lengths than Case Keenum took them if Sam Bradford was healthy?
No. I don't, and here's why. The defense in that, in the conference championship game, Phil, collapsed so completely that I don't think they win 14 games. I mean, Sam is good, and when healthy, had the potential probably to be great, but I don't look at Sam as being the, oh my God, that was the guy. I think the trade was smart because when Teddy went down, the Vikings could not possibly say Sean Hill is our guy, and that was a lack of preparation by the Vikings in who their backup quarterback was going into that season. But all of that being said, no, I don't think if Bradford is the starting quarterback that this team is miraculously hoisted to Lombardi Trophy status. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I
like,
think
that's a big
that defensive meltdown was like as of right now. Unfortunately, Mike Zimmer, who's a I think he's a very good head coach and a great defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. The standout moment in his head coaching career is getting worked in that NFC Championship game. It just is like that. They had the best defense in the NFL, and that defense didn't just give up 21 or 24. That defense got worked in that game. So I don't agree with him. I had to test out my own control find just to see. Like I even searched Kirk. It is amazing that you would write this. It is very calculated and amazing that you would write this article and name that many guys, including Matt Cassel, and not name Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
And if anyone, I don't know exactly what it means, but I know that when you're feeling the feelings and you're emotional and you're typing this out probably multiple times and running it by other people, it's not like he just wrote this and submitted it, right? A bunch of people put an eye on it and probably asked him, hey, you named a few quarterbacks here.
Yes, you're so right.
Do you want to name Kirk Cousins? Just like you didn't include Kirk Cousins in here.
Yeah.
And he probably said, nah, we're good. That's interesting. It's interesting.
Yes.
It totally is.
So
all right. You guys are cynical. You're Kirk haters.
Yeah, no, we're cynical. No, when a calculated person who we all agree is a pretty smart dude does this, and as you said, probably sat on this and reread this, knowing him hundreds of times. Yeah, I have questions about why. And look, I will go so far, boys, as to partially absolve Kyle and say, I have real questions about why not one, but two people whose livings were based on catching passes, okay? Like that was their bread and butter. It made them millions of dollars, Kyle and Stefan. Write pieces, both really smart guys. Write pieces for the Players Tribune, which is all about players' voices, right? Like there's no, you should do this or do that. I believe that they are basically told, pen to paper, we will translate it if it's not written really well, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys write send-offs to being Vikings and leave out the guy that was the guy that got him the football?
Dude.
Like I got questions here.
Did you pull up the Stephon Diggs one? Because I just pulled it up here. It's Let's Get It Buffalo, and it's a picture of him after the Minneapolis Miracle up top, right? So, Control F, just out of curiosity. Cousins, nothing. Kirk. He did say Kirk was one of the first guys to text me. He was super appreciative of the time we spent together over the last couple of years, and he was just as encouraging, wishing me the best of luck in Buffalo. And it's like, what do I even say about Kirk? This is a man who has invited me over into his home, introduced me to his family, put in the extra hours with us. He's a guy who, through all the ups and downs over the last couple of years, I've developed a tremendous amount of appreciation and respect for. I'm definitely going to miss playing with him and learning from him. So he did.
That's
have,
more than I recall. Okay, that's
he did have some good glowing things to say about Kirk.
I think
just for the record,
we all remember too that it wasn't necessarily Kirk that Stefan had the beef with. It was the philosophy and the
system,
way the team,
et cetera.
Was.
Yes, yeah. That's very true. Yes,
yep.
He did not hate Kirk.
Yep. And Kyle has been pretty open and honest in a couple different interviews lately about, listen, whether it's with the Vikings or somebody else, I feel like I have a lot more to offer. I mean, even he was chirping about the system. And you know what? This is where I'll actually stand in front of Kirk and take a bullet here. Hmm? I don't know that Kirk is in love with, I think he likes the system because I think he loves play action. I don't know that Kirk is in love with handing the ball off as often as the Vikings do. And some of the games at the end of the season where Kirk was yelling and chirping at, I mean, there were times where he's chirping at Clint Kubiak on the sideline because Clint's there, right?
Yeah.
And Gary's up in the press box, so Clint is the first line of defense to chirp at somebody when you're mad. And I'm sure some of the frustration is, I'd like to get the ball to guys like Kyle and Jefferson more too, but we're handing off too often. So
yeah.
Anyways, wow, that was interesting. And it's not even, just to clarify, like I'll just speak for myself. I don't blame Kyle if he feels like Kirk is something other than one of his favorite teammates or friends or whatever. If he didn't want to name Kirk, I'm fine with that. I'm not ripping him for it. I just think it's interesting.
No, we're dissecting it. It's intriguing why you wouldn't name a quarterback who you spent what now the last three years with. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting fact because again. This was a very well thought out piece. This was not, as I jokingly said, he did not get the call, and then churn out 2,000 words.
Yeah.
Like, this is a piece that he had been working on and probably rewrote a few times, and it's just the relationship between the receivers, the guys that catch the ball, and Kirk, to me, and then to your point, Phil, because I agree completely with this, how the system is run, it's a very interesting conversation that I think you, when it comes to the success or lack thereof of the Vikings, has to be explored. It just has to be.
Mm-hmm. You know what else has to be explored? If you're a business owner, you should explore MyShield by Federated Mutual Insurance Company, because MyShield is the online client destination for risk management resources. As a business owner, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training at your fingertips? Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. That's where MyShield comes in. If you're already a Federated client, well, what are you waiting for? Get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. And if you want to just talk to your Federated Insurance marketing rep, you can do that too. Contact information at federatedinsurance.com. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours. We have more on this on Purple Daily today as well. And Judd's got a list of the five greatest Vikings tight ends. I think we'll do that on Purple Daily because we got to get to some write that down predictions.
Nice.
On Mackie and Judd too. And don't forget, you can find us on Instagram. Declan has been rocking it on Instagram at Score North, and about once a week I'm jumping in and doing Q&As, and we're gonna have some more exclusive content. So follow at Score North, SKOR North on Instagram, and be sure to download the Score North app as well if you want breaking news alerts and if you want to read all of Judd's articles and find all of our content in one place.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Yep, welcome in to the only segment in America that actually keeps track of our predictions and holds each other accountable. This is Write That Down. We'll dive into it in just a second. But Write That Down this week is powered by the Score North Pick Your Prize contest, which is happening. So I want to lay some groundwork, and let's just level with our audience, all right? So Score North and Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily by extension, Score North is part of Hubbard Radio. And Hubbard Radio has like 55 radio stations nationwide across 8 markets in some bigger markets like Chicago, D.C., St. Louis, Seattle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there is a company-wide contest internally all throughout the month of who can get the most activity on their station app throughout the month. And so you guys can help us. Like Declan got a DM this week. You know, some people ask, how can I help you guys stay afloat? How can I help you guys push this thing forward? Where should I be listening? The Score North app is the best place for you to consume all of our content in one spot. All of our podcasts, Mackie and Judd, Purple Daily, also The Scoop with Doogie and Royce Unchained, all of Judd's articles on a weekly basis, and also if you want breaking news alerts, we'll send those to you for when Kyle Rudolph gets cut. Boom, that pops up as a notification. So as part of that, every day between March 8th and March 26th, we're giving away $100 to one person every single day. And I'll tell you how to register in a second here. That person who wins each day will also be entered to win a $10,000 prize pack from one of our 9 partners. Information on the Score North app. It's free to download. You've opened the app, you register, and you enter Pick Your Prize contest through Listener Rewards. So that's how you guys can help us out. If that wasn't shameless begging and plugging enough, I don't know what is, quite frankly. So, boys, we are the only show in America that does this. We make predictions and hold each other accountable. 3 predictions each week from all 3 of us, plus a guest listener predictor. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. On the Purple Daily Edition, we keep track of completion percentage and touchdowns. If you want to be part of the action, we have some openings starting in like May or June. We're booked, I think, through April or like into April. You can DM me at Phil Mackey or at Dex's Tweets on Twitter. Our DMs are always open, and we're always looking for a fight, really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We'll just fight you.
Nothing bad's
DMs.
Ever happened from someone sliding in my DMs.
No,
so yeah.
Clearly nothing.
Enough. Or vice versa, me going into someone else.
Never. Never anything bad.
No.
All right, you guys ready for the accountability session here?
Yes.
I think it was a pretty easy week for Judd.
Good for you, Judd.
Yeah, nothing off the board. I like that.
Nothing came
That's
off
fine.
The board.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple things come off the board. Wasn't good. I said when the Twins play their first spring training game, Alex Kirilloff will hit the first home run. Here, let me hit this buzzer here, Dex. I think it was Rooker or it was the other, the random guy. There's a random guy.
Spring training guy.
Random.
Batting sixth and playing in
number 101.
Yeah. And then you guys might have to help me with this one. I don't think he brought, I think he only had one chance to bring it back from when I made this prediction. They had one OT victory.
And when Dumba scored.
Yeah. I don't think he, I listened to the clip.
I was there, so yeah.
I heard the clip.
No,
I didn't hear it.
OTGWG?
I was.
The Anthony LaPanta OTGWG.
I watched on TV on Saturday. I did not hear
it. You watched the Wild Feed?
I did. I was at a friend's house. I watched Fox Sports.
So 0 for 2.
I love when Declan gets stuck watching Fox Sports North. He's just so disappointed.
Listeners, nothing came off the board.
Oh, this is easy.
Now, Declan had a busy week here, okay? We have a few things to talk about with Declan. Number one, last week I put up the red flag due to some listener concerns that Declan's WWE title change prediction was predicated on there being no other pay-per-views between the whatever that pay-per-view was, the Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Yep, and WrestleMania. And so Declan wanted a home run. We said, I don't know, people are throwing up red flags. And we said, if you can get at least 20 people to listen and comment either on YouTube or on Twitter, that you deserve a home run. I think he got like 40 comments that said he deserves a
home
run.
Give it the
home run. So we're giving
Declan. I was out of that one, so that's fine with me. Congratulations,
so
Declan.
Declan has received enough support from the listeners. He's got his first home run of the season.
Finally.
Awesome.
Now, you said Zach Parise will score a power play goal between last week's Write That Down and this one.
So done with power play predictions on Write That Down.
He had a goal, but it wasn't
a
power play goal.
Correct. He did score. But.
And I thought he showed great grit and tenaciousness by extending his shift the other night.
Yes. Yes.
That's what a real leader of men does.
Yeah.
Crawling across the ice. No. Keep me in. Keep me in,
and when
coach.
Zach's career is done, the Players Tribune is going to get a long laundry list of guys that he would like to thank, but it will not include Mikko Koivu.
Or Kirk Cousins. All right, Dex, you made a really weird prediction that came to fruition. You said the Wild will not play 5 games in the month of February, meaning they will play
4, 6.
Any number that isn't 5, and they played 7.
It was a great prediction because they were still on the pause when that happened.
And you worked the system.
Yeah, I worked this. It's gaining the system.
Sure.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
It's a point.
Yep.
I need your help here.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just want you to know that, well, I'll save it.
Okay.
I'll save it. So you predicted the women's tell-all from this last Monday on The Bachelor that MJ will call out Jesenia again, and MJ will initiate the interaction. Now, they got into it.
Yes. So here's where I fall on this. So Chris Harrison actually asked Jesenia to comment on it first. Jesenia tried to call out MJ. And I got the interpretation that the women, I should say, more took MJ's side than did Jesenia watching things back. So therefore, I would say this prediction was incorrect.
Wow.
Because I thought MJ...
Self-reporting.
Yep, I thought MJ would be able to come out to Jesenia. And also, I consulted with someone who was also watching the show on Monday, and she told me, that prediction isn't true. She said, no, that's not true.
That's very noble of you. I think a lot of people...
And you consulted.
I consulted.
With other people,
with
just random people.
Not random, but
random,
yes.
Random, we had no idea who they were.
I'm pretty confident saying all of our other producers before you came along would have fought for that point and would have been dishonest. So this definitely buys you points.
I think also it helps, too, that the home run came on the board and there was a green still here. If this was an all-red week, I probably would have maybe fought a little tooth and nail. But you know what? No, I'm going to be an honest guy. And no, that you can take it off.
So the updated batting averages aren't going to be fully correct because I didn't have time to edit this. But just so you know, if you had been correct, you would have taken the batting average lead.
Now I'm upset.
So Judd is batting .455 with one home run. Declan,
I sat out.
Are you going to stay out the rest of the year? No?
I stayed on the bench. .455, guys.
Declan, the number you see on the screen is not correct. You're actually batting .440 when we add that one back in. And one home run tied with Judd for the lead. I'm at .300 with no home runs, and the listeners are at .118 with no home runs on the season. So let's get Bennett in here. Bennett is our guest listener predictor on the week. Bennett, are you just going all Bachelor predictions, or what's your strategy?
Oh, no.
Man, that there's no way I could do that. I don't have that dedication like Declan has. My strategy is just to lay off the breaking balls in the dirt. You know, try not to be like Kadire and just start just hacking away.
I love the drive-by Kadire shot.
That cutter is tough, though, man. Tempting to swing at the cutter before it dies.
It was remarkable watching him try to swing at anything remotely outside on a breaking ball.
The bat would just flail out. Yeah.
God.
You guys.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the great guys of all time.
Why are we so cynical?
I'm giving him credit.
It's just because we all see the slider coming, and it's just dying right down at the end, and we're just like, oh, just don't swing at it just this one time. Yeah.
So here's how this works. We're going to start with Bennett. We're going to go around the room. Bennett, Judd, Declan, back to me, Phil. We're going to make three trips around. The predictions must be quantifiable. The batter's box is yours, Bennett. Let's do it.
All right. So hopefully I can help up our average and get a few home runs going. Dollar Bill, Krill the Thrill, will finish the season leading the Wild in assists, win the Calder, and we'll get a surprise postseason appearance by the Wild.
Ooh. I don't even know if it's a surprise appearance
so
at
you
this
said,
point.
You said assists. You say points too?
Calder.
Calder. Okay.
No.
Assists. It's going to be assists. His vision is incredible. He's going to lead the team in assists.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
I personally hate it when people complain that he needs to shoot more. I think people just need to enjoy the season.
Ah, okay. So even though when the coach wants him to do it, and even when his own father, Kirill Kaprizov's father, tells him to do it, which he did in a Zoom chat the other day.
Somebody has to tell them, Sports Dad is a joke. I'm just having fun, okay? I'm not really his dad.
DNA test. We need a DNA test.
Kaprizov got really confused. He's like, that Sports Dad thing, it must be an American thing. That's my father, my American father. It's
is
like,
he
no,
Italian?
Kirill.
Yes, you
hit.
This is
like,
hey,
what are you
hey,
doing?
You want me to shoot mine? Hey, come on.
With your stick and your skates and your puck.
Come on, buddy, yeah.
Shoot the puck, Kirill. Shoot the puck. Don't swim with the fishes.
All right, over to Sports Dad.
Okay, I'm going to give you a two-parter. Ooh. Kyle Rudolph, write that down.
Oh, my God.
But I'm only going to give you one part here because there will be a callback in Write That Down on Purple Daily. That's right. The first ever Write That Down crossover episode is about to commence.
Okay.
Kyle Rudolph will sign with the Seattle Seahawks. Kyle Rudolph is going to sign with the Seattle Seahawks.
And you know what? And Dak Prescott loves to find tight ends in the passing game, and so that's going to be a great connection in Seattle between Dak
Prescott and Kyle Rudolph. It'll be Jason Witten. It'll be his new...
Russell Wilson gets traded. All right, back to Declan.
All right.
Write this down.
By the start of next week's Write That Down, I always like to have at least one accountable thing that comes off the board.
You do a good job
of this. Yeah, it's good. This is kind of a dead part of the year. No football, right? Baseball.
I like it.
The Wild will at least share first place in the West Division.
Okay.
By the start of next week's Write That Down.
Can I add a point of clarification for tracking purposes? That sharing or taking lead is after all the games have been played that night. Like if they take the lead and then another team finishes
a game.
So
basically, by the end of Tuesday night's games, when we hit record on Wednesday, the Wild will be in first place in the West Division.
In at least one of the mornings as you wake up, is what I'm saying, right?
Yes, on Wednesday morning.
Because I don't want you saying, well, that game got over 5 minutes before that game.
Are we talking about when we start to record a week from today that they will either share or be in sole possession of first place?
Yes.
Or at any point.
No. I'm not going to do that some point thing. By next Wednesday.
So next Wednesday, when Phil looks at the standings.
Okay. If they're in first place on Saturday, and by the time it comes around on Wednesday, they're not. Then no, this doesn't count.
By Wednesday
morning, the Wild will be in first place in the West Division.
Gotcha.
Thank you for clarification.
Got it.
Write this down.
All right. Write this down. So just to fill Bennett in, and you'll be able to catch this later on when the full episode's post, Kirk Cousins was somehow omitted from Kyle Rudolph's list of like 50 players he thanked over the course of 1,000 words on the Players Tribune article. This will be a thing, so write that down. Kyle will tweet something about Kirk Cousins in the next week, between now and next week's Write That Down.
I love it.
He will tweet something about Kirk Cousins. If he has, and I don't know if he has already, just so you know. We're sitting in here. We're recording this on a Wednesday morning. So between now and next week's Write That Down, somebody will bring it to his attention. Maybe me. I don't know. Maybe I'll throw it out there.
Write this down.
Okay. Wait. No, I think we need to pass a rule. I don't think that you can do that.
It can't be in response. Well, yeah. I'm probably going to tweet something about it. I won't tag him.
Okay.
But he'll probably see it.
You can tweet it, but you can't tag him.
Okay. I won't instigate.
If you cause it to happen, I think it doesn't count.
But there are no rules and Write That Down.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're overstepping your authority.
You know
here.
What? We need to make some. Damn it.
No, we don't.
Listen, Declan.
I brought you guys to Allianz Field.
Isn't
twice
that juicing,
last
a, predict, juicing a prediction
yes,
there?
It's a steroid era. Yes. I'm working with McGuire here, okay? BS.
I'm here to hit bombs. That's right.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. What are we back to Bennett now?
Yep.
All right. will have a reputable source like an Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, somebody like that with some notoriety, will report that the Vikings have an interest in Thuney or Schreff to tease all of us, but nothing will happen at all. There will be no signing, and ultimately it'll lead to the Vikings drafting an offensive lineman with one of their first two picks.
Wow. Okay. Big time parlay there.
Yeah.
And what we've been doing with the reputable sources, it has to be majority agreed upon. We all, between the three of us, you need 2/3 majority to say, yep, that random guy on Twitter has a check mark and that counts as a verified report. Just like that one guy who claims his work was featured on Bleacher Report and ESPN that reported something about Kirk Cousins.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, back to Judd.
My second write that down for this week. The Wild will make Kaapo Kähkönen the goaltender they protect in the NHL expansion draft this July with Seattle. So, Declan, the Wild will make Kaapo. They can protect one goaltender. It will be Kaapo this July.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
A lot of Wild predictions.
Yeah.
It's great. Well,
stuff. Team in town right now.
Great stuff. You know. Do you guys miss Alex Stalock yet?
No. I mean, great guy, but no, I do not.
Like, miss him how?
No, just.
I think he's an unreal human being.
A good human being who's
he's a great guy,
funny dude.
He'd like to thank a lot of people.
And like to play the puck a little bit.
He'd like to thank a lot of people. Okay, and I'm going to start the list.
I'm just trying to bait Judd into ripping likable Minnesota athletes.
No, Stalock was a great. No, Alex is a great guy. He is a great guy who would like to thank Bruce Boudreau, and he'd like to thank Mike Yeo, and he'd like to thank Paul Fenton. I digress.
Right there,
so many people to thank. All right, back to Judd.
Declan.
Sorry, Declan.
All right, Twins prediction: Miguel Sano will land on the injured list this season before Byron Buxton does.
All right.
So Miguel Sano will land on the injured list this season before Byron Buxton does.
Could see that happening.
Write this down.
All right, I'll jump into the Wild prediction fray here.
All right.
Write this down. Little two-item parlay. The Wild will finish top three in the West Division. So they will. Right now I think they're third. They will finish top three in the West Division, and they will make the playoffs. Now, if they finish top three in the Western Division, they're guaranteed to make the playoffs. So it's really not a parlay. It's just
they finish top three in the West.
They're going to finish top three in the West and make the playoffs.
Okay. I believe right now the analytics say that they have a 66% chance to finish third, which is ahead of the Blues right now.
So, to finish top three or
third? To finish at least in third place.
Nice.
Yeah.
I went down a deep rabbit hole dive into Hockey Reference today and was like looking at high danger chances.
Yeah, wow.
The fact that the Wild rank like bottom seven in possession, but like top five in high danger. They wake up feeling dangerous every single day.
Yeah. Possession, that's fine. High danger, that's
and
where it's at.
Feeling dangerous.
And with no power play
that's
supplement, and their even strength is really good. They're one of the strangest teams in the NHL.
It doesn't feel sustainable to be as good as they've been probably without a power play that works.
Correct. If it was competent, it'd be fine, but it's so abysmal.
I feel like with the rate the power play is currently going, that, dare I say it, regression might be near.
Yes.
Regression to the mean.
That's what
write this down.
That's what I'm all about.
Back to Bennett. Bennett, your third prediction.
Story of my life.
All right. EA will continue to neglect the franchise mode in this upcoming edition of Madden. So for Madden 22, they're still not going to do anything of it. We'll be referencing that there's 89 features that have been removed from Madden. There's a YouTube video out there for it. So I'm going to say none of those 89 features are going to make it into this next edition of the game. And we're going to see the fix Madden franchise hashtag trend again on Twitter.
Wow. Declan, you got all that?
So
what's the prediction?
Yeah. What is exactly the prediction?
Okay. So, this YouTube video from Soft Drink TV has listed out the 89 features in Madden. Not a single one of those will make it back into Madden for Madden 22. And then we're going to see the hashtag fix Madden franchise trend on Twitter again come August.
You might have to help us verify that happens.
I might
literally need Bennett to DM me and say this did or didn't happen.
It's trending.
Yep. Otherwise, you might just get screwed out of a point on this one. But yes, I like the Madden. I think that's the first ever Madden prediction we've had. I'm going to write that down. So nice work going all over the board with your predictions. Bennett, since you've got this platform right now, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to the Write That Down prediction segment?
honestly, it's my wife. She's tolerated all my sports fandomness. I've had to basically break down every single game and everything that I'm watching, and she's put up with listening to all of it. So she's been a good ear for me.
Love it.
That's awesome. Nice of her.
Well, great work, Bennett, and we'll get you on again sometime, right?
All right, sounds great.
See ya.
Right on.
Write it down. You like writing
taking shots at Cuddy.
I love the drive-by.
Just Cuddy and so Alex Stalock. I mean, these are some good guys.
I think what's happening is Minnesota sports fans are so sick of just being middle of the road, not being championship caliber.
Milk toast players,
and having
me?
Like figureheads of these teams be celebrated. And it's like, you know what? We're a little chippy.
We're going in the corners.
It's
we're,
nothing against Cuddy, but you know what? We need a championship around here.
Yep.
All right, back to Judd.
I won't participate in this. I love being really not great at what we do here. Mediocre at best. All right, here's my last one. It's a daily double. It's this is going to go out on a limb that I can't come back from. The Wolves. So the first part I think has been predicted on the show, but I'm going to reiterate that prediction and go with another one too. The Wolves will not get a top three pick in the NBA lottery this year, meaning it'll go to Golden State. And here's the second part. And Gersan Rosas will be fired after the 21-22 season.
Wow. Wow.
So the death.
That would be one of the most incredible failings of a front office person in Minnesota sports history. So they celebrated his arrival.
And the death knell part one is going to be when we are faced with the fact that top pick. First round pick is going to Golden State.
Yeah.
And it's going to start a very quick spiral that we'll see Gersan Rosas dismissed after the 2021 Declan 22 season.
So the Wolves will not get a top three pick in the NBA draft this year.
Yep.
And Gersan Rosas will be fired after the 2021-22 season.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow, good Judd. Going for it all.
Write this down.
All right, Declan.
Double down.
All right, Bachelor prediction as I do to wrap this year. One of the three remaining Bachelor contestants will voluntarily leave the show before it ends. Does that make sense, Phil?
Yes.
So one of them, I don't think it's going to come down to necessarily Matt, you know, only has the two roses and he gives it to two of the three. I think one of these three women leaves the show.
And so it wouldn't be him pulling her aside to save her the humiliation.
No.
She will opt out of the show.
She will opt out.
She'll get psyched out by the fact that he's already spent a night in the fantasy suite with each of these other gals.
So she'll walk.
She can't handle the heat.
On her own.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
She'll walk on her own. Okay. I'm here for it. I'll make a Bachelor prediction to round us out here.
Okay.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
So Chris Harrison has been temporarily suspended for supporting racist Rachel in various interviews and podcasts.
That'll happen.
So they're looking for, not only are they looking for a temporary replacement for like the season wrap episode, but they might be looking for someone, I don't know, a little more permanent, mm-hmm. a little younger, a little fresher.
Yep.
Write this down. Emmanuel Acho, who is going to be the temporary stand-in for the end of the season wrap episode, Emmanuel Acho will host something else Bachelor-related as well before the 2021 calendar year is over. So he'll host this thing in place of Chris. They will like him. And then he will also host something else Bachelor-related before 2021 is over.
So like a different show or something?
Yeah, like maybe he hosts Paradise.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. Just got to throw it out there. And those are your predictions for this week. On Mackie and Judd's, write that down. Don't forget football-centric predictions also on Wednesdays on the Purple Daily podcast feed. If you want to be part of either one of those, send a DM to @PhilMackie or @DexasTweets, and we can make it happen for you. We're the only show in America that actually puts our reputations on the line every single week. Our lofty, credible reputations on the line.
A lot of nice guys, too. On this show, a lot of really nice guys.
Hockey, a lot
of
people to think. A lot of people to think.
Bachelor
a lot
predictions. People.
Yeah, in fact, I'd like to start.
Sabotaging and DMs, crediting home runs and comments. Just a lot of good things happening here.
So that's a wrap on today's episode of Mackie and Judd. Don't forget, you can also find episodes of Rap with Roycey on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed, too. So check them out. We'll see you guys tomorrow.